إليه من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهز نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One day in adoration, I think one day inshallah, I love the Lord, we praise him, we thank him, we seek for his help and forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls. The evil consequences of our own doing. We bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. May his peace and blessings be upon him, his progeny, apostles, and the believers who take the right path. Till the day of resurrection, may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be filled with mercy, grant us all the saints to have been among them. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing our lives to witness the fourth day of the month of Ramadan. It is indeed another opportunity for us being alive. It is expected that we judiciously utilize this opportunity for our new servant of the month of Ramadan as the most expensive period in the life of the Muslim. This is why it is expected that to the best of our ability we make good use of this period of time, regardless of whether it is during the day, it is in the night, from the commencement of the month up to the end of it. Let's try to seize the opportunity to change ourselves for the better. Let's try to seize the opportunity to uplift our state of demand, uplift our state of as it relates to our relationship with Allah. Let's use the opportunity to uplift our state of as it relates to the relationship between ourselves and fellow beings. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mercy accept all our good deeds that we shall be engaging in this great month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them from us. May he in his mercy grant us the privilege of witnessing the end of the month, having granted us the beginning of the beginning of the month. In the name of Allah wa ta'ala, we shall commence our usual evening tafsir, which holds every Saturday at Sunday. During the month of Ramadan, which is the fourth sitting, we seek Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our intentions. We seek Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the grant of the good understanding, may He subhanahu wa ta'ala advance this gathering of ours in an effort to understand the verses of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advance this into the field of our good deeds. Last year, Ramadan, which still seems to be as though it was just yesterday, in this very month, but we felt the last session of the year, and adjourning for next year. The next year is here, just within the blink of an eye. This is an indication of the fact that our days are running. We are getting closer to our dreams. Our time of departure from this earth is getting closer to us day by day. This simply means that we are spent a year of 11 months, and this is the first month now. This is the last decision of English appeal, and this very thing, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings and forgive our sinfulness. Last year, we proceeded with the Surah Al-Imran, that is the third chapter of the Quran, and we talked at verse 74 was the last verse we recited and explained the saying of Allah, يَسْتَوْسُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ مُلْفَةُ الْعَمِينُ سُبِينِ. In the name of Allah, we shall commence the tafsir from verse 75, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ أَجْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ شَأْمَنْهُ بِالْإِنْفَاقِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أجل الكتاب تؤمن الكتاب والقائد Thank you. وهو من الكتاب ويكون له الشيء في
And when that is done through, Allah says, لأن الكتاب لما تلبسون الحق بالباطل وتكتمون الحق. What is that you mix the truth with the false وتكتمون الحق and you make all efforts to conceal the truth. Even when they are being called upon to break their own scripture, they will still try to manipulate their way. Can you give back? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, wa lin ahli al-kitabi man yata'ammalu bi kafari yu'addi ilayhi. But among the people of the scripture who, when you instruct him with a very huge wealth, say, God, a very huge wealth. The people of the scripture in this context are the Yahud, the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. They were the Jewish, they were the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that among them are those who are trustworthy, are those who are trustworthy. You can entrust them and they will deliver the trust. That is one of the attributes of the Quran, being just to all. You can see, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in just a few verses before this, Allah told us about how deceitful they are, how they have blatantly disobeyed Allah, how they have always made efforts to conceal the truth. But Allah is still telling us that among them, there are people who can be what? Entrusted. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنُوا بِكِفَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Among them we see whom, if you entrust with a very huge wealth, أي المال الكثير, يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ, is going to return it to you. It's going to return it to you. That means if you keep anything with it, that's okay, please keep this for me. And the money is used, even without you bringing anyone to witness the fact that you have surrendered this huge amount of money, this huge wealth to this person who is a Jew. Allah gives the skill among them who is going to return the trust on campus. ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك. ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك. And among them is he who, when you entrust him with just a single coin, entrust him with just a single coin, لا يؤديه إليك, he is not going to return it to you. إلا ما دمت عليه قائما. Until and unless you continue to stand on him demanding for it, he's never going to revive. If he is on this, you must have put in a very serious effort standing and not relenting in asking for, in asking and demanding for it before he becomes a Christian. Why? Those who are not trustworthy among them, why is it that they do that? If they deliver a trust to them, they will deny. If they deliver a trust to them, and when the time of need comes, when the person needs the money with which he has entrusted someone, and he approaches the person, the person denied. Some scholars of the system brought some narrators to the fact that the person will say, go and bring your witness. You are there. Although he knew that when you instructed him, there was no one. There was no witness. Go and bring your witness. But there is a reason why he did that. And they only do that to the believers. They don't do it to themselves. Generally, when they entrust themselves, they do reform the trust on campus. But when the believer entrusts them, Allah is among them are those, no matter how much the wealth that you have entrusted them, they are still going to, they are still going to be punished. But there is among them whom whenever you exhort them, they are never going to return. Why? Allah says, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلٌ. That is because they say there is no blame upon us concerning the unlearned. There is no blame upon us concerning the unlearned. Who are the unlearned? Those are the Muslims. Those are the believers. Al-Ummiyyin. What they mean by that is that it is lawful for you to cheat anybody with a condition. The condition is that that person must not be a Jew. So far that person is not a Jew, then it becomes lawful for you to cheat the person. That was their creed. That was their belief. They believe they were above all other religions. They rated themselves above every other person. So they made it lawful for themselves what belongs to others. So you can take something away from anybody and deny the person his right of accepting that thing because the person does not believe in what he believes in. And the worst than this is the fact that they attribute this bad behavior, they attribute it to whom? To Allah. They say it is God that permits us to do that. It is God that permits us to take away the belongings of all our people. Because for us, they are disbelievers. So because they are disbelievers, God permitted them to take away, to be unjust for them, which is a blatant lie. God does not enjoin injustice. God does not order injustice against whatever, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all. Is the creator of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory that you be just to one another. It is compulsory that you be just to everybody, regardless of their affiliation, whether they are tribes, whether they are colors, whether their places of origin, whether their country, whether their religion, injustice has no two names. Injustice is injustice. Regardless of the victim, The fact that the victims of injustice does not belong to your religion does not change injustice from being injustice to justice. But in the case of the Jews, it is lawful, according to them, to create forces that Allah made it lawful for them to be unjust to people other than the Jews. ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في المسلمين سبيل. That is what they say. We are not to be blamed. There is no blame upon us, but that is those who are unled. And those who are unled, we are the believers. And this has been the creed. This has been the belief of the Jews up to today. They feel and they believe they are above all. So they have to control all. So they have to do everything possible to make sure that they are in control of all, willingly or by way of compulsion. This is not a new creed. It is not a new belief. That is why we see double standards in the way citizens of the world are being treated. When you look at Ukraine, when you look at the rainfall, Ukraine is getting. Look at the aid. Look at the international attention. They have gotten the aid. They have received the assistance, the support. But when there is a disaster in other parts of the world, when there is a disaster in Arab countries, in African countries, nobody seems to care. Because they do not believe that we are equal for them. That is just the simple truth. Regardless of your religion, even if you think you are you believe in the same religion to them, you are only deceiving yourself. Regardless of your religion, this is a purely racial creed. They believe they have an absolute supremacy over any other creator of Allah and God. My other people, the other people, who adopt this tool today, they believe that they can cheat you, they can be unjust to you, they can maltreat you, and though, even if they did not come out to openly declare that it is lawful for us to be unjust to you, it is lawful for us to maltreat you, it is lawful for us to cheat you, their body language says it. If you don't belong to us, are you one of us? If the answer is in the affirmative, then good. If the answer is in the negative, then we will be unjust to you. We will maltreat you. We will cheat you. There are people that have copied and pasted the attitude of the Jews today. If you are of my tribe, I will treat you well. If you are not of my tribe, I'm going to be unjust to you. I'm going to block everything that you are entitled to. I'm going to maltreat you. If you belong to my religion, I'm going to be just to you. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to give you more than what you deserve. If you don't belong to my religion, I'm going to deny you all what you are entitled to. And even those things that are in your possession, I'm going to make sure I dispossess you of them. This is the creed. This is the aqidah of the Jews. So if you have any creed of this in you, it means you really need to work on yourself. It means you have one of the traits of the people of the scripture, in this context, the Jews, making it wrong for themselves to maltreat others, to be unjust to others, to take what belongs to others just because they believe that they are not to be blamed, that it is not sinful for them to do that. So far, the person, the victim of their crime is not a Jew, right? It is normal for them to commit a crime against such victims. ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأذيين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون. At the end of the verse, let me say earlier that if they were doing this and they were not attributing it to God, it would have been easier. But they were doing this and claiming that it is Allah that gave them the permission to do that. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And we are saying the untruth about Allah. And we know the hypocrisy. He deliberately do that. He deliberately fabricate lies against Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fala
yaqra." إن الذين يشترون بعهد الله وما
that is between the servant and his creator. The reason for which you were created. The reason for which you were created, are you fulfilling it? Are you fulfilling it? The covenant and the commitment between you and your Lord includes the obligation the right of Allah, the right Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over you. Are you fulfilling it? It includes the commitment between you and the servants of Allah. Between you and the servants of Allah. Are you fulfilling it? Are you one of those who, because you believe there is no witness, even if I get a deed and this, nobody will discover this? Because there is no witness, you commit atrocity without the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever a servant is blessed with it, then such servant will fulfill the commitment between him and Allah, and God between him and the servant of Allah. It's not obedience, but the relationship between you and Allah is clean. But the relationship between you and the servant of Allah is dirty, rough, and bad. If you sincerely have a good relationship with Allah, then, by way of implication, the relationship between you and the servant of Allah should also be a good one. Because for someone who learns to fear Allah, he abides by the peace of Allah. He worships Allah, he observes the five days for the past, he gives out in charity, gives out the zakat, fasting in the month of Ramadan. If he has the means, he performs hajj, engages in all other good acts. He is well-being, he builds masajid, he builds orphanage homes, he assists the needy. But his relationship with the servant of Allah is a bad one. He doesn't treat them well. The Messenger of Allah says, Wallahi la yu'mi man la ya'man jaruhu fawa'iqahu. His neighbor, he maltreats them. His workers, his customers, his relatives, his wife, his child or children, he's not good to them. You maltreat them. You take away what is due to them. At the same time, you claim to be godly. This is contradiction. You cannot be godly while you maltreat the servant of Allah. Even animals, it is prohibited that you maltreat animals. We are all aware of that hadith where that woman was admitted into the hellfire because she stabbed a cat. You can imagine that. She stabbed a cat. She stabbed an animal. How many human beings are there who are here deliberately stuck today. They are deliberately denied access to food by those who are supposed to feed them. Was it just last week or 2 weeks back in a gathering, someone rose in the question that her husband, because of the reason that standing between the two of them, had abandoned his responsibility of feeding her and the children for months. But now that Ramadan is approaching, he's trying to come back and be shouldering that responsibility. So what is God's person going to tell Allah? And God's person will still perform a solution going to the world and Allah Akbar gives the Bidlah. Whereas your children, you are studying your children for a thing they are not aware of. Because of the misunderstanding between you and your mother, you are studying it. What if the mother does not have any other means to feed herself and the children? These are your responsibilities. You help them. And you perform a mission and go into the world. And you will be deceiving yourself thinking you are a good Muslim. Where is your Islam? You maltreat your neighbors. Your employees, you maltreat them because you pay their salary. You maltreat them. You don't treat them like human beings. You're okay. Your wife and children. All these are commitments between you and the servants of Allah and the creator of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you for sign of them. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Whosoever fulfills his commitment, his duty, his covenant between him and Allah, between him and the servants of Allah. وَاتَّقَى. What is it that is going to guide you? What is it that is going to trigger you? Whenever you want to do something that is not good, you recall the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make you, hold you accountable. Because of the fear of Allah, you have faith. Sometimes you want to order some words which are not good. Maybe to someone who has offended you, when you recall the fear of Allah, you swallow your anger because of the fear of Allah. You refuse to act in accordance to what your anger dictates to you because of the fear of Allah. Because you don't want that for the day of Qiyamah, a Muslim will be holding on to you asking for his rights from you. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, it was reported that when he was attacked, when Al-Majusi had Umar was observing his mother when that cabin came and stabbed him with a poison knife. Apart from the fact that he was cut and he was seriously bleeding, because the cabin resulted into cutting off the intestine of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. Apart from the fact that he was seriously cut, the knife used in stabbing him was also poisoned. When he was cut, when he gave consciousness of the act, he said, "Who stabbed me? Who stabbed me?" You know, say that it was Abu Lulu and Majusi. When Umar heard the name of the person who stabbed him, Umar said, "I thank Allah. I thank Allah that it is not a Muslim that stabbed me. Because I don't want to stand before Allah." in adjudication with our Lord. Yes, Allah. I don't want to stand before Allah in adjudication with another Muslim. But if you look at us today, do we care? Do we not care? Do we care? People are so selfish. People will claim to be religious. They will claim to be Muslim. They will claim to be Christians or whatever. But yes, all they do, all they engage in, is to give the teaching of the religion of Islam. Woman is scared and afraid of standing before Allah. You can imagine how cautious someone is going to be to make sure that on the day of resurrection, someone is not entitled to anything. Someone is not holding on to you before Allah on the day of resurrection, wanting to take away from your good deeds. Because on that day, it is your good deeds that will be given away. It is your good deeds. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ الْعَبِيدِ. And your Lord, on the day of Qiyamah, your Lord is never going to be unjust to anyone. Your Lord is not going to be unjust to anyone. بَلَا مَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. It is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will lead you to be able to abstain from trespassing into other people's rights. Those who are engaged in the business of buying and selling. How many people have you sold fake goods to? How many servants of Allah have suffered from your deceit? When they fill the bag of grain with a lot of dirt in it, they breathe rats. They breathe leather, so that the bag will be filled up. By the time you see the chaff from the grain, you discover that the grain of one bag is almost a half of the bag. Because someone has deliberately filled the bag, filled it with rat and leather, and a lot of time and debt, all in the name of looking for what? Looking for money. So how do you stand before Allah? You think Allah has forgotten? If the person you see there has no option and has moved on, what about the record of Allah? Can you erase it? Can you erase the record of Allah? Can you erase the record of Allah? بَلَا مَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Whenever you have been entrusted with anything, fear Allah. Your children are trust. They are amana. Your wife are trust. They are amana. Fear Allah. Whenever you have any business to do with any person, whether the person is a Muslim, whether the person is not a Muslim, fear Allah. For if you fear Allah, you will be written amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Ya subhanallah. Ya subhanallah. For you to be written amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Wallahu fa inna Allaha yuhibbu al-muttaqin. The message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Prophet said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves its servants,